We ready? Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much for being patient. We took a little bit longer here for us to set up. My name is Gavin Gear. I'm a program manager. I'm in the Windows division, and I'm excited to talk to you about AllJoin today and also what we're doing with AllJoin in Windows 10. And to get started, I wanted to share a brief personal story to help set the stage for why I was excited to work on this project. So about 5 years ago, I set out on a mission. I thought it would be a relatively straightforward mission, and that was to build a cost-effective home entertainment system that would use a single remote, that would be easy to set up, easy to use, and easy to maintain. It turned out to be a little bit more difficult than I thought it would be. I spent hours and hours researching which surround sound system to buy and which television to buy. I even bought the same brand so that they would talk to each other. And after hours and hours and hours of configuration and setup and menus and pushing buttons, I finally got close to my goal. I used an Xbox 360 universal remote control, and it worked pretty well. But there were a couple drawbacks. I had to leave my surround sound system powered on all of the time, otherwise it wouldn't turn on. And I had to switch inputs on my remote to control the TV or the Xbox. But all that changed when I added a Fire TV into the picture. Now I've got a Bluetooth remote for the Amazon Fire, and I need to get the television remote out to switch inputs between the Fire and the Xbox. And I've got a whole mess of infrared repeaters and all sorts of complexity. And in frustration, I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way. This shouldn't be so difficult. These components should be able to talk to each other. It shouldn't be so difficult to use these devices and to set them up. I couldn't believe that in this day and age, when we've put a man on the moon, and we've connected the entire world via the internet, and we're just on the verge of being able to 3D print replacement human body parts, that it still takes me 3 remote controls to watch TV. Hard for me to believe. What we're here to talk about today is AllJoin. AllJoin was created to help solve some of these difficult problems and to help remove some of these big barriers. The opportunity is huge. Here's some IDC predictions. We're talking about 28 billion connected devices in 5 years. That's 4 connected devices for every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. This is a huge opportunity. $20 billion in wearables avenue annual revenue in approximately 2 years. $12 billion of revenue, smart connected home, in the next 2 years. I'm sure you all want to capitalize on this big opportunity, like I do, and like Microsoft does. But where there's a big, big opportunity, there are also huge challenges. Proprietary hardware, protocols. Some of the challenges and difficulties that I just explained with my home entertainment system are preventing everyday consumers from adding these types of devices to their home and spending more money on these types of consumer electronics devices. And then what about security? If consumers are not confident that their door lock won't get compromised, and if they're not confident that their data will be safe, they're not going to invest in these devices. They're going to be afraid to buy them and afraid to use them. What I want to talk to you today about is this open source, cross-platform code base called AllJoin, a collaborative project that was created to solve these interoperability challenges. I want to talk to you about why Microsoft decided to join the AllScene Alliance. There were other options and other frameworks, but we decided to join the AllScene Alliance because we saw huge ecosystem momentum, and we saw answers to some of the big challenges and problems that have prevented these consumer IoT scenarios from becoming mainstream. I'm going to walk you through a high-level overview of building an all-join-enabled, all-join-integrated device from start to finish. And finally, we'll talk about the All-Scene certification program and security and some other considerations and ways that you can get involved. So right from the get-go here, I want to talk about the different organizational components that are involved, because when I first started working on this project, it was a little bit confusing to me. So AllJoin is the project. AllJoin is the code base. It provides cross-platform, open-source solutions to IoT problems. The All-Scene Alliance is the organization that is responsible for delivering the AllJoin code base. The All-Scene Alliance is a Linux Foundation collaborative project. Now, I didn't know about the Linux Foundation before I started working on this, but there's a bunch of great people at the Linux Foundation, a lot of tools and a lot of resources and processes that are used by the All-Scene Alliance to run this organization in a smooth manner. In fact, the Linux Foundation actually runs the Linux Project, which is the biggest open source project in the world. So these are the different organizations that are involved. The All-Scene Alliance is an organization that you can join and get involved in. AllJoin is a technology that you can adopt and integrate into your devices. We've integrated it into Windows 10, and the Linux Foundation is behind it all. Now, the last time I was in China was for WinHack 2008, and if you told me that in 2015 I would be here talking about the Linux Foundation, I might not have believed you, but here we are, and change is good. We're all changing as Internet of Things is changing and as new opportunities and new challenges are unfolding. So I'm glad to be here to talk to you about this. So, AllJoin. I want to give you a quick overview of what it is, how you can use it, and why it's compelling. I want to go back to the smart connected home scenario. I talked a little bit about building a home entertainment system, but that was just a small view into some of the challenges that have prevented the smart connected home from becoming mainstream in the last 10 or so years. Most of the technology has actually been available, but what has happened is each company has implemented their own proprietary solutions, and these solutions don't integrate easily. In fact, a whole industry of installers and integrators and software developers has formed just to make these systems work. And the result is they're not available to the everyday consumer. They're too expensive, they're too time-consuming to use, and they're just not very flexible when it comes to changes, adding new hardware or whatever. AllJoin was designed with interoperability in mind from the very start, not as an afterthought like we see in some of these types of solutions. So when you integrate AllJoin into your device, it can talk to other AllJoin devices without having to do anything special. There are standard device profile definitions, and interoperability is inherent with AllJoin devices. But we know it's not just local networks and devices discovering each other on the same subnet. There's a bigger picture. The I in Internet of Things, of course, is for Internet, and AllJoin has made investments in broadening the scope and making its reach more comprehensive by defining what the All-Scene Alliance calls the gateway agent architecture. So that's one way that you can take an AllJoin network and access devices on that AllJoin network remotely, or create an interface to a cloud backend so that you can synchronize data, control things remotely through a cloud proxy, that sort of a thing. In today's talk, we will focus on the proximal local network connected scenario, because that is what AllJoin fundamentally provides solutions for. If you want to know more about the gateway agent architecture, there's a lot of good information about that up on allsceenealliance.org. So we'll be talking about everything happening below the gray bar on this diagram. So I want to talk a little bit about how all join devices and applications interact with each other, because we'll be using a set of terminology for the remainder of the talk that's important to set up here. So what we have here is a connected lighting scenario. And there's a project working group in the All Scene Alliance called the Connected Lighting Working Group that has implemented what's called the Lighting Service Framework. In the Lighting Service Framework, you'll see some of these concepts. In computer science, you're probably familiar with the client and server terminology, where a server will produce something that a client will connect to and consume. Well, in AllJoin, there are similar concepts, but the words are different. AllJoin consumers connect to AllJoin producers. So the consumer is basically like a client. Devices are producers because they implement functionality. They allow consumers to connect to them, to discover them, and even to control them. So AllJoin software entities, whether it be device firmware or apps, can be consumers, which you'll see with the smartphone over there. We've got a lighting app that's connected to a lamp. It's a consumer of the lamp, which is a producer. The lighting service framework also defines what's called a lighting controller. The lighting controller is both a consumer and a producer. It consumes individual lamps, and it exposes them, those lamps, through an interface to applications. Applications can then control groups of lights, apply scenes and effects, and other advanced functionality. So if you're implementing something like an IoT hub, you might have a bridge that consumes something like Zigbee devices on one side and then produces interfaces that can be connected to for AllJoin clients, that sort of a thing. So this is a simplified view of the different types of AllJoin interactions that you'll find on a typical AllJoin network. I'm going to go into more detail on some of the lighting and show you a demo later in the talk. So the Internet of Things is comprised, of course, of a broad spectrum of hardware, everything from tiny battery-powered microcontroller-based sensors all the way up to servers in a data center. Now, the AllJoin codebase was designed with this in mind. There's actually two core frameworks that you can integrate into your device or your app. The ThinCore SDK is a very minimalistic, lightweight implementation of AllJoin. It's implemented in C, and it has a very minimal additional payload requirement for code space on the device, about 10K in size, depending on what features you implement support for. Since it's implemented in C, it exposes a C API for core functionality that you can develop your AllJoin device or your AllJoin apps on top of. On the other side, we have what's called the AllJoin Standard Core. The AllJoin Standard Core is implemented in C++ and is a fully featured AllJoin implementation. It includes what's called a routing node. The routing node is a software object that has a routing table and can facilitate connection, communication, discovery between various AllJoin nodes on the network. So in order for AllJoin devices to communicate with each other, there needs to be at least one routing node present on the network. The core framework provides a C++ API, which I'll show you later in the talk. This core C++ API provides the basic primitives and mechanisms that are needed to implement your device's functionality, to advertise its presence on a network so that it can be discovered by other clients, and more. On top of the C++ core API is a set of what are called language bindings. So these are wrappers over the C++ core API that provide a convenient and easy way to implement your device or app code on the platform of your choosing. So there's an Objective-C language binding for Apple developers. There's a Java language binding for Android developers. In Windows 10, we've added Windows Runtime APIs and expose a C API in box. The magenta boxes on top of both of these frameworks represent the code that you would write in your device or your app. So it's quite a flexible implementation, and it's a pay-for-play model. You only need as much resources and code space as proportional to the functionality that you're implementing via the thin core or via the standard core. So let's say you wanted to build a connected smoke detector. The smoke detector has an onboard Wi-Fi chip. It's got updatable firmware, and it notifies the users in the home when a fire is detected. It might even want to expose a simple way to cancel or override its notifications. AllJoin provides what are called base service frameworks. These base service frameworks are layered on top of the core frameworks and provide implementations of common device functionality. So in the case of our smoke detector, we can use the notification-based service framework to package up notifications that are easily discovered and presented by other AllJoin devices or apps running on the network. We can use the onboarding-based service framework to enable a device or an application on the AllJoin network to help another AllJoin device get onto a Wi-Fi network. These bulbs that I'll demonstrate later implement that functionality, and it makes it a heck of a lot easier to deal with these devices, to configure them, and to set them up when you have that type of onboarding help from another device or app. The configuration-based service framework provides mechanisms to configure devices and even upload and update system firmware. And finally, the control panel-based service framework defines an XML schema for the presentation of arbitrary controls for devices. So in the case of our smoke detector, if we had a cancel or override UX, we could expose that as XML, and an application could present an override or cancel button without having to have intimate knowledge of the device in question. So these base service frameworks, combined with the core frameworks, provide a lot of code that you can use, and there's quite a few samples as well, so that you don't have to implement everything from scratch, and you can benefit from all of the open source functionality that's available, and even extend it or fine-tune it for your purposes. So, as I mentioned, Microsoft has joined the AllSeen Alliance, and we've built AllJoin support into Windows 10. What does that mean? Well, here's a few high-level deliverables that we've integrated into Windows 10. The first thing that we did was to integrate the AllJoin runtime into Windows. This means that when Windows is serviced, the AllJoin runtime can be updated. It means that you don't have to carry the full payload of the AllJoin runtime in your application or device, depending on what you're implementing. We've also built a router node service into Windows that is able to start on demand. You don't have to think about starting or stopping it. It's a fully featured NT service, and it helps connect devices on the network, regardless of whether they're thin core based, which does not support router node functionality, or standard core based, which does support router node functionality. It's also fully and seamlessly integrated into Windows. There's no firewall dialog pop-ups, and we've optimized the performance and the functionality as well. We've built C and WinRT APIs into Windows, as I mentioned, as well. These can also help reduce the payload size of your application or device firmware. In addition, we've integrated them into the Windows SDK so that it's as easy as possible and as seamless as possible to write applications that use AllJoin for Windows. Finally, Visual Studio integration provides a seamless experience with Visual Studio 2015. We also have a code generator tool where you can take interface definitions and automatically create projects that implement all of the boilerplate and hookup code for you so that you can focus entirely on the device functionality that's unique to your device or to your application. So we've done quite a bit of work in Windows. At runtime, it looks something like what you see here. The magenta boxes represent code that you would write in your application, and the blue boxes represent the components that we've built in Windows that you don't have to include into your application. You can see here, the dotted box represents the device boundary. We've got full firewall integration, and other applications that are on what's called the All Join bus can interact with any of the applications that are running on our Windows 10 PC. Now, you've probably also heard about Windows 10 IoT for small devices. This is the SKU of Windows that's targeted at platforms that makers like to develop code on, and that large corporations might use to prototype implementations for devices. And the same code would be used in actual shipping device implementations. Well, the good news is that for Windows 10 IoT for small devices, all of the functionality that I just talked about is included. We've got the router node and the WinRT APIs. You can write UAP applications or UAP startup tasks that will run on a board like the MinnowBoard Max that I've got shown here, or Raspberry Pi V2, which is going to support Windows 10 as well. These Windows 10 IoT for small devices also has a lot of great hardware resources and APIs that are available for things like buses, I2C and UART, that sort of thing. Connectivity options. Of course, an IoT device is connected by definition. So the support that we've built in for connectivity is also vital and incredibly useful. Now, we've actually got a hands-on lab that you can join over in Mansion number 8, and you can actually see some of the code that I'm talking about here, experiment with the code, and deploy it on a MinnowBoard Max. So I want to invite you to join me in that hands-on lab after the session is done. So I want to show you a couple device demos. The first one is going to use these smart light bulbs that are made by an Australian company called LifeX. LifeX started out as a Kickstarter project, and at the time it was funded, it was the highest funded Kickstarter project of all time. These bulbs connect via Wi-Fi. They're full color LED, they're dimmable. They're really neat devices. And if you haven't played with bulbs like this, it's actually quite a bit of fun. Oops. There we go. So you can see here I can change the color of the bulb by spinning the wheel here. This is a touchscreen PC. You could run the same code on a phone because this is a universal app. I can adjust the brightness. You turn the brightness down, that might be a little bit easier on your eyes. These kind of applications are actually really easy to write because of the universal app platform and the lighting service framework that's available from the AllScene Alliance. This app functions much in the same way as the other cross-platform apps that support the AllJoin lighting service framework. And the great thing is, when you buy some of these bulbs, it doesn't matter what device you have. There's going to be an app that's available, and you'll be able to control them. It's the great thing about the cross-platform nature of AllJoin and the devices that we've got here. So next, I want to invite Ling Chen up on stage. Ling is a part of the local Microsoft OpenTech team, so he knows a lot about open source. And Mini DisplayPort. Great. What channel? 3? Okay. Looking good.
Okay, we're good. Oh, the microphone. Thank you.
So, okay. Ling, I understand that you've been working with some big partners MS OpenTech?
Yes.
So tell me about the software that you've implemented that uses AllJoin.
Sure. Microsoft OpenTech is basically an organization in Microsoft doing all the open source things. So the code we implement on this application is based on AllJoin, of course, and also HTML5 UI to doing all this user interface codes, mm-hmm. implement all these functions. Okay.
And tell us about the device.
Yeah. So the device we actually show here is this AirBox, what we call this, the AirBox. You probably already see that in Kevin Dallas' keynote this morning. So if you want to know more about details, this is a higher device, and it supports all the air quality parameters. And you can see in our screen, maybe more easier for you. So you can it has 5 sensors inside, so and it can detect all these air quality PM2.5. It's really important for China. And the temperature, humidity, and the VOC. By the way, if you have no idea about the VOC, VOC means volatile organic component. That's you can understand simply the bad smell in your house. Okay, so that's how this fancy box can do. By the way, it's a Red Dot Award product, very popular in China.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And what would be the next step? It's already written in HTML5.
Yeah.
And it's already using AllJoin.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's what we were talking about. So as Gavin just showed to you, Windows 10 now support the C and JavaScript, the C API on Windows 10. But how about the web application developers? Think about how especially when you do some mobile applications on your cell phone, for example, the most popular programming language is JavaScript. Okay, so the working we are doing now is we are going to expose the AllJoin API also on JavaScript. So we'll deliver a JavaScript API and contribute that to the Cordova as a plugin. So everybody in when even they use Android, even use the iOS for those non-Microsoft platforms, will also can easily develop such an application using HTML5 and JavaScript. That's the work we're going to do.
I think Cordova is going to be really, really,
really, really
impactful
important.
Because if you're not familiar with it, it enables you to write an HTML5 application.
Yeah.
And since Cordova has system-specific plugins on each platform,
exactly.
You don't need to rewrite your application to deploy it for Android, iOS, and Windows. You write it once. It's royalty-free.
Yes.
It's Apache.
It's
so
free, yes. And it's open source.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can even run, single code can run BlackBerry. I think there's seven platforms being supported by Cordova if you write HTML5 application. Okay.
So thank you, Ling. And if you guys want to know more about this demo and the higher hardware, including the air conditioner, Ling and his team are over in the expo area, and you can catch him after the session as well.
Sure. We are in number one booth, by the way, if you want to join us. Yeah. You're always welcome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ling.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So, building AllJoin devices. What does it take? Where do you start? Where do you finish? And what do you do in between? So the first thing that you want to do is choose a hardware platform. And since you probably build devices, since you're here at WinHack, you probably already have a hardware platform. But if you just want to experiment with AllJoin, learn about AllJoin, there's a whole variety of devices. Everything from Arduino to Raspberry Pi, BeagleBone, there's a bunch of different platforms that you can use. A Windows 10 PC, running Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10, bunch of different options. I've actually worked with quite a few of the platforms, and it's pretty easy to switch between. So the second thing you want to do is think specifically about the functionality that your device exposes, and think about how that would map to AllJoin interfaces, either interfaces that already exist or interfaces that you can define. In a few minutes, I'll show you how easy it is to define a device interface for AllJoin. After that, you want to write and test code. Now, you can either write your app from scratch, or you can start from a sample, or you can use code generation tools. There are code generation tools that are built into the Allscene Alliance code base, and there is the code generation tool that I mentioned that's going to be included in the Windows 10 SDK for WinRT apps. Either way, it will do a lot of the work for you. When you're done writing and testing your code, you want to think about certifying your device. The Allscene Alliance has a Designed for Allscene program that's a part of the Certification and Compliance Working Group that provides a lightweight way for you to be able to put the logo on your box and to know that your device is going to function properly and meet customer expectations. So I decided to go through this process myself. And while you might not have a toaster in your kitchen, almost every American has a toaster. So one day I thought to myself, why don't I make an AllJoin-enabled toaster? It might not be a viable commercial product, but I thought it would be a fun activity. So the basic state machine is there's actions, attributes, and events. The actions are to start and stop toasting. There's a single attribute, which is the desired darkness of the toast. Everything from really, really white all the way to black charcoal if you burn your toast. And then there's events, a single event. When the toast is done, notify the user. In AllJoin, these are methods, properties, and signals. I'll get to the interface definition in just a moment, but before that, I want to show you how I architected the code so that it would run cross-platform. So at the top, we have the toaster implementation, the wide magenta bar. This is where all the logic and the state machine is implemented. It's where notifications are integrated. Below that, you see the blue boxes. The blue boxes are the code that's taken directly from the Allscene Alliance. Got the C++ core API, which includes what's called the About interface. The About interface is used to expose metadata that describes your devices and what interfaces they implement support for. And then we've got one of the base service frameworks here, the notification-based service framework, that makes it really easy to support notifications with text, with different severity levels, information, warning, emergency. You can embed icons, links, all sorts of stuff. To the right of that, we've got a GPIO abstraction layer. And this is where I control the GPIO pins that will control the toasting sequence and light up the heating element. So that GPIO abstraction box is the only box that I have to implement specific for each hardware platform. Below all that, we've got the orange boxes, which are the system code boxes. We've got some APIs, we've got the actual operating system. We don't even have to worry about that. That's just all included for us with the platform, of course. So, AllJoin interfaces. AllJoin interfaces are hierarchical. You can have one or more nodes. Each node represents a particular device. Here we've got a single node for our toaster. And each node can expose one or multiple interfaces. Here we've got a toaster interface. The toaster interface describes the functionality that I mentioned, the actions, the events, and the properties. So we've got a toast done signal that gets sent when our toast is done to notify the user. We've got a start toasting method that can be called to start a toasting sequence, a stop toasting method that can be used to cancel a toasting sequence, and the darkness property, which is read-write. So an application can set this darkness property and change its value, which will control how long the toasting sequence takes place for. So this is a very simple AllJoin interface, but it shows you all of the basic primitives, methods, properties, signals. And before I get into the actual coding demo, where we'll take a look at the code, I want to provide you a high-level overview of the C++ object model so you can understand how the different pieces work together. So I mentioned the AllJoin bus. The AllJoin bus is not a real bus. It's not USB or I2C or anything like that. It's an abstraction there can be multiple transports underneath, IP or Bluetooth. The application doesn't need to worry about that. The application doesn't need to know about that. All of the different all-join nodes, be they consumers, producers, applications, devices, communicate over this all-join bus, which is the abstraction of the underlying transports. In order to connect to the all-join bus, applications and devices use what's called a bus attachment. On the right-hand side, we have a consumer app. It's going to use a proxy bus object to form a virtual connection to what's called a bus object on the producer side. It turns out that's where the code is that we write that's specific to our device. The toaster that I implemented is basically a runtime instance of a bus object that's attached to the all-join bus. We also need a router node somewhere on the network to facilitate communication between the various all-join nodes on the network. So I'm going to show you two coding demos. First, we're going to start with a C++ coding demo, and then we'll see some very early bring-up work that our .NET Micro Framework team has done to support all-join natively. So this, believe it or not, is a toaster. This is my toaster hardware simulator. I've got a Raspberry Pi 1B here running embedded Linux and a solid state relay that will control this bulb. The bulb simulates the toasting element as a toasting sequence is taking place. Now, because we've got the solid state relay, we could actually hook this up to a real toaster, but I'm not sure you want me to do that because I'm a mechanical engineer and I would probably cause a fire. So I want to run the toaster producer code for you. I'm remote desktop connected to my Raspberry Pi here. And I'm going to run my toaster producer code. Okay, so you can see a little bit of diagnostic initialization code. We're on the same network as the PC here. Now, if I run my toaster universal application, the consumer, I can search for this toaster and find it on the network. Now I can do things like set the darkness property. You can see that's being received by the producer code that's running on the Raspberry Pi. We're storing that state internally. And then I can do things like start a toasting sequence. Now, when the toast is done, we'll see a toast notification in the notification panel. I can increase the darkness property and toast for a little bit longer. And again, when our toast is done, we're going to see that toast notification, which is in the notification panel. Now, this app actually works on the phone as well, so you'll see that notification in Event Center. You can imagine how handy this would be to have all join devices on your network that can inform the user when the laundry is done or when someone's at the front door, that sort of thing. So this code is implemented in C++ and it's cross-platform. So what I want to show you next is a quick walkthrough of the code, and then we'll modify it slightly for Windows 10. So I'm going to start with the main routine here. It's not a whole lot of code. You can see we're most of the way through here. But when we start up, we create a bus attachment. That's the attachment to the all-join bus that I talked about. We've got some initialization here. We can call this Windows 10 for IoT small devices. This is where the about data is populated. So this is the metadata that describes the device. And you can actually see in the Universal app, if we go back there for a second, I'm going to save this. You can see that Raspberry Pi toaster there, that was actually pulled from the device name, which is a part of the about interface. So the app doesn't know anything about what toasters are connected, but it can display meaningful information to the user via the about interface. We have more initialization code. We instantiate our toaster object, and then there's this very important line of code down here where we use an about object to announce the presence of our toaster on the all join bus. This is when apps will get notified that there's a new toaster and they can connect to it and start controlling it and receiving notifications from it, that sort of thing. Okay, so up here we've got the actual implementation of the toaster object. You can see here that toaster object inherits from a base class called bus object. A lot of the logic is actually defined in bus object, but it's an abstract base class, so there's some methods that we need to override and implement. We've got some initialization code. We've got some mapping between our interface members and the function handlers. We're using a timer from the all-scene code base here to delay while the toasting sequence takes place. We send our toast done notification. This is using the notification based service framework. So you can see here this text to send. We can localize this into different languages. We've got the text that we want to send, which is toast done in this case. We've got our get and set handlers for the darkness property, where we store that internally. And finally, the actual handlers for the start toasting sequence and the stop toasting sequence. So what I'm going to do next is open up a command prompt. And we will use a cross-platform compilation tool. We're going to go to our build directory. And we can then use a what's called sconce command line. Sconce is the cross-platform compilation tool that AllJoin would use by default. Compile our application for Windows 10. Now when we run this freshly built app, you can see the timestamp there. You'll see the same initialization code that we saw on Raspberry Pi. And you'll see our Windows 10 for IoT small devices toaster show up. So we see the same thing happen when we set properties. We can start toasting. We'll see the same delay. And then we'll see a toast on notification in the notification center. So you can imagine it's very easy to write applications that can deal with multiple devices and can present meaningful information to users. Next, I want to show you a very early bring up version of a .NET micro framework implementation of the AllJoin Thin Core. If you're not familiar with the .NET micro framework, it's actually an open source project. It enables developers to use .NET and write in languages like C# to target tiny devices, like this Netduino Mini. It's a very minimal payload, but you still get the convenience of writing code in .NET, having really easy debuggability capabilities, that sort of thing. So if we build this, we'll be able to run this in an emulator. See the emulator show up there. And I need to resize this window slightly. There's our .NET micro framework toaster. So with .NET micro framework support for AllJoin, you have yet another option to use cutting edge developer tools and have great developer workflow and support things like AllJoin functionality that we're showing here. Now this toaster doesn't really do anything yet, but it shows you that you can support AllJoin devices using .NET for tiny devices and use things like the About interface to expose metadata, which we can see here. So I hope that gives you an idea of how easy it is to implement support for AllJoin, to use code that implements support for AllJoin from the AllScene Alliance. It's actually not very hard, and there's a bunch of great people in the community that can help you with your solution. If you join one of the working groups and if you join the mailing lists, you'll be able to interact with members of the All Scene Alliance and get help from them, suggest features to them. You can contribute code back. It's a really great collaborative work environment. So I wanted to talk about a couple more things that are important to understand. If you do want to get involved in the All Scene Alliance, it's important to understand how the organization functions. It's really comprised of multiple smaller organizations called working groups. Each working group has a specific charter. There's a certification and compliance working group, which I'll talk about in just a moment, that's, you know, concerned with certifying devices, ensuring proper functionality. There's a security working group that's investigating cutting-edge ways to implement security for IoT devices and to expose that in the all-join code base. Things like identity, that sort of thing. But the primary working groups consist of, first, a core working group. The core working group is responsible for the core implementations of AllJoin, the thin core and the standard core. These core frameworks have a six-month release cadence, so they ship approximately twice yearly. Sometimes the schedule is adjusted based on All Scene Alliance members' needs and schedules, but you can count on approximately 2 releases per year of core. The base service frameworks that I talked about are owned by the base services working group. They own things like the control panel interface, onboarding interface, those sorts of things. The base services working group doesn't have a particular release cadence. They release when needed. It might correspond with a core working group release, or it might be out of band. Then we have a set of project working groups. The connected lighting working group is an example of one of these project working groups. These are aimed at a particular scenario or user experience. Home automation is a great example of that, and there are many others as well. These groups also don't have a predefined release cadence and release code as needed. The great thing is you can listen in on meetings and get notes and talk with these people over the mailing lists without joining the All Scene Alliance. But if you join the All Scene Alliance, you can be a part of shaping the technology and have input that's critical to directing the path of where this technology goes. You want to know more about the working groups? The All Scene Alliance website has a complete breakdown, and each working group actually has its own page and section, and Git repositories, and all sorts of great resources. So that's the All Scene Alliance, how it works, working groups. I also want to really have you think seriously about certifying your devices. If you're going to build AllJoin into your device, it's really worthwhile to go the extra mile to the finish line and get your device certified. And it really is about the two considerations: ensuring that your devices function properly and meet your customers' expectations, and also to get the Designed for All Scene logo on your box. It's not expensive, and there's no licensing fees. So if you ship millions of devices, there's no tax associated with that. There might be a nominal fee to have your results reviewed by the All Scene Alliance, but it's really not a large expenditure. There's a self-certification program so that you can run your tests in your own lab. It's a lightweight process, and it's easy to do. So if you're going to build AllJoin into your devices, definitely get them certified. So what can you do? The first thing is think about joining the All Scene Alliance. It's a great organization to be a part of, and it can really be beneficial to help deliver IoT solutions and to help shape this technology that's emerging that's going to be so impactful to so many people. Look at where you could and how you could integrate AllJoin into your device. Regardless of the platform, regardless of the functionality of what you're building, there's ways to integrate existing interfaces and code, or to write new code so you can enable more devices or more apps to work seamlessly together with the apps that you develop and or the devices that you build. think again about certifying your device. It's a great way to get maximum benefit for the investment that you make with AllJoin. And finally, I want to mention that we're going to be at Build talking about AllJoin. Here I focused more on how to build devices that support AllJoin, but at Build we're going to be talking more about how to write apps that use AllJoin and how to use the WinRT APIs and the C APIs that we've built into Windows, the Visual Studio integration, how Windows can benefit devices that are running on a particular network. Windows 10 IoT for small devices, how you can write applications that will run on that hardware platform, and software platform, rather. So if you can come to Build, come. If you can't come, there's going to be plenty of talks online that you can view and learn about what we're talking about there. So thank you. I wanted to set aside a few minutes if any of you had questions. There should be a microphone here somewhere. Ah, thank you. Okay. Don't be shy.
The network connection you said is Wi-Fi in this example. Mm-hmm. You can also connect through other means, Bluetooth or others.
So Bluetooth is actually in progress. Bluetooth LE support specifically.
Okay.
Yeah, there are ways to integrate multiple transports.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the power states and stuff like that. You know, when you have those other modes, how do you, you know, save power mode or go wake up or stuff like that?
I think that would be up to the device implementation.
So the core functionality does not include those things.
Power management specifically, no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Hi, the question is, do you have a minimum hardware requirement for the micro framework, .NET micro framework?
Minimum
hardware requirement, like a memory or
I'm not sure on that exactly, and we're not going to know for a little while because it's not fully functional yet. But it will get contributed back to the .NET micro framework at some point, and then we'll have a better idea of what the hardware requirements would be. But it, I have been told, should run on the Netduino Mini, which is a fairly compact, low-cost platform.
Yep. Thanks.
Anyone else? Some resources here. You can go to Windows ondevices.com to learn more about Windows 10 IoT for small devices. All Scene Alliance webpage is a great place to go for high-level information, conceptual information, developer documentation, Git repos. You can clone the code to your machine in just minutes and be off and running and start developing applications and running samples and all sorts of things. Okay, so I don't think on this deck we have the feedback tool, but please do provide feedback if you have any. Helps us have a better event. And this is the end of WinHack 2015, so I wanted to thank you all for taking the time to come out to WinHack, and I wanted to thank you personally for taking the time to come with me today and talk about AllJoin. Thank you very much.